Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and we're joined by Tom and Melissa Gould, newcomers to the show.
Hey, Bob.
Maybe 15 years. And Marta Kristen. Hello, Marta.
Hello.
Hi, Marta.
We're all together.
See you.
And our regular listeners know, this is the show where we address questions that you have. You're certainly welcome to call in. Some people have emailed questions. If you want to call in and share and have a question or you want to share an experience, call us at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We welcome your calls. Before we get started today, three announcements. One, our July grief retreat. There's about a month left to register, and there are seats available. And the grief retreats, as you know, if you've been to one, they're pretty all inclusive with certified mediums and metaphysical practitioners and scientists and so forth. So please join us. You can get all of the information on the website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and you go to events. Secondly, there's about 3 weeks left in the medium raffle. Your chance to win a reading with one of five different certified mediums. It's $5 to enter. And again, you can go to events page and enter. And lastly, open for registration now in California in October is our Medium and Psychic Development Conference. That'll be the first of its kind, the first that we've done. It's quite a lineup. It's for people that feel that they have some intuitive or mediumship ability. They're looking to build upon that. And we have seasoned practitioners. Laurelyn Jackson will be there. Travis Hope and Connie Fusella and Siri Burnson. So that will be something that you want to not miss. And again, events on foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And now... Now we've run out of time, so thank you, everybody. Now let's see. We've got a question. Can you reincarnate back to the same mother? And actually, I defer to the experts on this. Jim Matlock, who's an expert in the field. Says yes, it's absolutely possible. As a matter of fact, children who die young or before birth generally reincarnate back to the same mothers.
Really?
I didn't realize it was that frequent, but it's more often than not. Also, in addition to that, many other people are reincarnated to relatives in the same family, so it happens more than you think.
Explain and it varies. Explain that with what Jim believes. So are we speaking about probably a child that dies young?
If a child died very young, and he says like even before birth, they most often when they reincarnate go back to the same, not only the same family, but the same mom.
So the mom gives birth to the same
child. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, a child won't look the same, but it's still, that the reincarnation, the child. So that's pretty interesting. I really haven't, thought about that before. I really, before I looked into it, I thought that was kind of a rarity, but evidently not based upon thousands of cases. So.
Yeah, I wonder what he would use as the criteria, because I know when that was explored in the Netflix series about reincarnation, so if a child was that young or hadn't even formed too much of a personality, let's say, or ability to speak.
I mean, it's a good question, because if you were stillborn, you died before birth, how would we know that it's, the same person, reincarnated? But like you point out, if the child was young, maybe 3 years, 4 years, 5 years old, then there's evidence, medical records and, maybe markings on the
Yeah,
child's
birth
body and
mark
so
or
forth.
something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of the reincarnation stories that I've read about, it's the new child will have memories that they will relate
Ah.
that will put the pieces together.
Right.
That makes
And
sense.
in a lot of cases, these investigators, they act like detectives, because you get all the clues, and they pull medical records and police records and dental records and school records, and the child talks about all these things, and their other family members and what they looked like. And sometimes they're lucky enough to trace it back, if the old family was in the same geographical area, to go back to the house with the child, and then the child is, hugging everybody because he's back with his family. It's pretty incredible.
You know what would be interesting, and I'm not going to share personal names or stories, but you probably recall, Bob, I know Tom does, last summer when we'd gone to our July retreat, a woman shared with us a story about her son recalling, and he was only about 6 at the time, but what he expressed to his mom was that he had been here before. And I don't think it occurred to any of us to say, do you have the same mom? Because that makes me wonder. Maybe if we have a chance to have a conversation again, we could
Yeah,
ask
absolutely.
that. Yeah, that was, I think about that a lot, and that was very profound. And that in this 6-year-old child who basically told his mom, I don't want to stay here. Nothing has changed.
Said people haven't learned anything from the last time I was here, or they're just as stupid as the last time I was here. And she was like, what are you talking about, mother?
I would imagine adults that are lucky enough to remember, past life would say the same thing. Like,
Yeah.
what the, it's only gotten worse, not
Yeah.
better yet, in some cases, right?
Without going too far afield, I have a lot of, there are a lot of people today who feel that things are lousy these days. And I point out, well, look past in human history. When was it not lousy?
I know. In
Yeah.
the Roman Empire, things were really flowing nicely there, right? No separation of, no caste system or division by wealth,
We've thrown them all.
She writes, I'm writing to ask you about whether the soul or spirit of a loved one, after crossing over into the afterlife, still holds the earthly relationship they have with the family or partner in the physical realm. I lost my partner a few months ago, and during the readings I had, the responses that manifested don't include messages of love. In terms of messages or signs received, they also seem to be less. Should I be worried or concerned about my relationship with him still? That's not the first time we've heard that. In the first book, do they still maintain their earthly relationship? We think yes. They still remain a part of their loved ones, lives. I think, she said she's had readings, and the messages didn't include messages of love. Well, I mean, that's not unusual because usually the medium is focused on the evidence, not necessarily the messages. Sometimes there's a message, of love, but just think about the person in spirit. They want to get out as much as they can get through, so that that it's them, and then maybe there wasn't, time for messages, but
And we might
the
be
one.
skeptical of
She,
those
yeah,
too.
she said she was concerned that, about that, maybe because she's not hearing from him that there's something wrong with him or the relationship. And that's a question we hear a lot, I don't know. I mean, Marta, what are your thoughts on that? What would you tell somebody that was wondering if their loved ones still love them, because they haven't heard from them?
Well, I assume that they had great love or love during the relationship, and that would just carry on through wherever the
Yeah.
from them as much as it comes from the out, from the individual who's saying that they would like to hear more love. I just feel there shouldn't be any doubt. Or I said, I shouldn't say shouldn't. There's probably no doubt that the love is there. It existed during their relationship while the partner was alive, was here, and exists in the after life as well.
Yeah.
Can't imagine it not.
Right.
Yes. And the re accounts we get from people who have had near-death experiences and that sort of thing is that they meet up with their loved ones on the other side, and we've heard often that your loved ones are waiting for you to greet you and help you cross over when you do. So in answer to the basic question of this caller is that yes, the relationship still is solvent, and you will see them again when you get there. Realizing again that when you're on the other side, we're talking about eternity. You're an eternal soul. And here we have a very brief time in the sense of eternity. So if you don't hear from them every day for them, for things, that's not a big deal on the other side, but it does not mean that they're gone and that they don't love you anymore. They very much do. And also, it's not an easy thing on that other side to get through to a medium. It's work on all three participants. So the very fact that they are coming to you in a reading is a message of love that they took the effort to
That's
get to
true.
you.
Yes, I like that.
I got an email from a an author and a researcher, and she was suggesting, a topic, and maybe on a future show, she'll call in. But she has written books and gives talks about what she calls, being born aware. People have always remembered what they thought when they were born and have retained those memories throughout their lives. Some of the memories center around birth, like who was present, what the temperature, felt like, and some around pre-birth, like memories on the other side. She says people that are born aware know that their true home is on the other side, and that they're here just temporarily, and they'll return home after physical transition. It's interesting. I thought the term was interesting, born aware. Have you, or do you know of anybody that I've met some people that claim that they remember things from their birth or right after birth. I
I can't
mean,
say I certainly I didn't I don't have those memories.
Yeah.
But I don't recall that. Do you, Tom?
No, although I do remember in the late 60s, the turn to the 70s, there was a psychologist or psychiatrist by the name of Arthur Janoff who had a what he called primal therapy. And that the whole thrust of primal therapy was trying to get back to that original thought from when you were born. So yes, it has been explored. I have very little knowledge of how any of that goes.
I believe it's a book about that, about carrying another book, a recent, relatively recent book, about carrying all of these things that, you know, happen to you when you feel like you don't remember, but you carry it with you, you hold it with you. And so the primal scream actually makes sense. I remember the primal scream from the 70s, 60s or 70s. And but it may, that makes sense that if you had a difficult birth, there's going to be something in your personality, in your subconscious that, that speaks to it in your daily life, in or difficult situations or happy situations, where it becomes, it's a part of you, and it's like a muscle memory, you know, it's there, and it's a matter of acknowledging that and maybe working through it if you can.
That movie that we showed, Bob, years ago at one of our afterlife discussion groups, I think about often, Delivering Milo.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a couple with the baby about to be born, but the baby just wasn't coming out. And I feel like in the film, they went to what this baby was experiencing kind of on the other side, and
Wasn't he like waiting in line, you know, just an idiot? He didn't want to make the plunge, you know,
it was very interesting. We should
Was. Well, I don't, you ever think about what the earliest memory you have, like at what age? I mean, do you, I mean, I could barely remember my 40s, but
I just know for myself, because I do think about that sometimes, that I know what home, what house I was living in up until a certain age, and a memory about in that house, like the way the rooms were. So I could only sort of pinpoint it like that. Or I do remember like in a crib, climbing over a crib. And I'd have to think back if I lived in that house till maybe two years old.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd have to place it along with something else that I know for sure.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, we're not sure whether we actually remember it, or we remember the stories that our parents told us, or, you know, photos that we may have seen.
True.
I'm guessing that you, Marta, that you can remember things when you were quite young.
I can. Yeah. Because a lot of it was kind of survival technique that I had to use in an orphanage, and it was. I remember being chased. I remember being hands reaching out trying to pull me out from under a bed, and I remember some things. But I also singing and dancing and entertaining.
Good and bad, right?
Yeah. Good and bad. Exactly.
Well, that's interesting in itself, because it's the significant things that, you know, that stay with you, not the mundane, you know. I mean, a hand coming in to pull you out is traumatic, you know. I mean, singing and dancing was a happy time, you know. It's so you, I guess that sticks with us. I think that's why a lot of people have still retained their long-term memory when they get older, but not their short, because they remember the significant things, but not the, you know, the common stuff they could easily forget.
Yeah, my family moved three times by the time I was 4 years old. So I have distinct places that I lived, and I can't remember the first two places, but I do have memories from the third place, which I lived in when I was 3 years old. So 3 years old is as far back as my memory goes, where I have actual memories.
Yeah. I'm just looking at a question here. Some practitioners advertise they do soul readings. And she said, I'm not sure what that is. Can you elaborate? From what I gather, soul readings explore like your inner self, your core essence, like your people talk about a blueprint, your soul, blueprint, emotional patterns, spiritual alignment, that kind of stuff. And the problem is that there's not much evidence involved, same thing like people talk about angel readings where they communicate, wisdom. So I guess it's for people that want to do, personal exploration and go back to their roots. And they use things like reading your auras or your chakras or cards and crystals and things like that. I
Now,
was
is that
never.
the same thing as like a past life or Akashic record readings, or is there something totally
Well,
different?
yeah, that would be different. I think because they're actually using hypnosis, to get you in that altered state to go back to see if you remember, a past life. And those that, that's the basis of the books like Brian Weiss and so forth, and then Life Between Lives and so forth. So that's interesting. I never paid much attention to soul readings, because I'm just all about the evidence. So, if I can't get any evidence out of it, I'm not really interested, but I don't dismiss it. It's that. I wonder if any of the certified mediums also do soul readings. I don't know. I
Yeah,
never
I haven't
asked.
heard that come up lately.
No.
I have a question. Do you think I'm asking this because I feel like I've encountered people who are actual angels in that appear that come into my life, and then they go. But it's happened a couple of times, and they've been brief experiences, but they've been such that it's been life-changing and life-affirming. And I just wonder about that. Are there angels amongst us?
I think so. I have also heard of tales of that sort of thing where a car breaks down on the side of the road, a flat tire or something, and suddenly there's somebody there who helps you change the tire and then leaves. And the person who is benefited gets that feeling that that was angelic.
Yeah, it was purposeful. And what makes it even more interesting when people talk about these kinds of angel sightings is that usually nobody else sees them.
And they go looking to thank them, or they thought they were
Yeah.
to a shop and go,
Yeah. So
no,
did you just see
don't
that?
go.
What woman? There was no woman there.
Right. Yeah.
I love those stories.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, that would make an interesting little research project about that, people who see what they would term, as angels, which could be visitations, from loved ones as well. Sometimes that's a fine line, but that would be an interesting study.
Yeah, there was a publication, I believe it was an offshoot of Guidepost magazine, which I know is more religious based, but they had another publication called Mysterious Ways that I subscribed to for a long time because I loved stories like this, and they would be fascinating. I recall you know, a woman describing she was quite pregnant and she saw her toddler approaching train tracks that were ran in the way back of the yard. And, you know, being so heavily pregnant, she couldn't get there fast enough and she could see the train coming and it was horrific. And a figure must have come and lifted up her son to avoid the train. It's all sounding so like a fantasy story right now. But there was some evidence after the train went by that the boy was on the other side, but his shoes remained on the side of the track where she had seen him, as if he had been lifted right out of his shoes and safely put on the other side. And that's making me think of your story of Silas.
Oh.
When you could have been impaled.
Well, yeah.
But that was no other individual, so I won't share that again right now.
Yeah. Well, I've also heard or read, you know, accounts, especially like with car accidents, where people were hopelessly trapped in a car and, you know, seemingly a good Samaritan, you know, came and extricated them from, you know, pried open a door or something. And then it turns out nobody ever saw that person. That person disappears. And, you know, so I'm certainly open to it. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
We had a story of, I'm not sure if it's an angel or a visitation, but someone we know who had lost his mother and is an avid hiker had hiked up a mountain, and there was only one trail to get to the top of the mountain. And when he got to the top of a mountain, there was a woman there, and she wasn't really dressed like a hiker, didn't have a water bottle or anything like that. And she spoke to him and then went down the trail that he had come from, which was the only trail. And he went down the trail and came across two other hikers and said, "Did you see that woman on the trail?" And they said, "No, we didn't see a woman." And he kind of suddenly realized, "Wow, I think that was my mother that came and visited me."
Yeah. A question, you know, do we have personalities in the next world, and do they sometimes clash with others?
I think like-minded people are together and on the other side. Of course, if they're rough sorts, they might clash.
Yeah, I'm the clashing part, I'm not so sure I know or have an idea on that. But I definitely, yes, you maintain your personality. I remember going to see one of the famous mediums, John Edward, and he was doing a large theater reading session. And he mentioned right at the first, he goes, "I just have to tell you up front, if you're Italian, you have a better shot because I'm Italian and the Italians come through." And they'll even talk about, "Well, I have a spirit here, and she's running the whole show here, and she's letting people in." So whether they're doing that just as evidence, as you would say, to show, well, that's her, all right, or whether you just maintain that.
Yeah. Well, I think that when they communicate that through mediums, it's a form of evidence. But the way I always look at it is that when we say clash or have disagreements, you know, personality clashes usually are the result of human emotions, you know, like, you know, greed, ego, and so forth. And which is, you know, and we believe that there's none of that on the other side. So I don't see there being many disagreements, if any. And it brings up something that you brought up, Melissa. It was like somebody asked if people lie on the other side, right? Well, you know, and for the same reason, I don't think there's lying. But didn't you ask a couple of mediums that?
I did. A couple of our mediums, Bryce and Joe, who are on that the YouTube program, Voices from the Grave. I thought, let me reach out to them and just get their opinion because they do readings all the time. And Bryce and Joe both agreed that a an entity from the other side. Let me see what I've jotted down what Bryce said. She said, spirits often won't lie, but they can. And if they do, it is very obvious and almost implied that they're not telling the truth. And that struck a chord with me, as if it's done in a, oh, I don't know, with a sort of a facetious way, or you know, you might recognize your uncle going, that sounds the way he would answer a question. But she said, we know they're lying. So it's sort of a trademark, perhaps, of their personality. And Joe said also they basically do that in a normal, they basically never do that in a normal reading unless it's them making a joke or sarcasm or just trying to convey their personality. So I recall, Bob, you saying there's really, you know, no reason to lie. But if that was what they were known for, perhaps, or...
Yeah, I mean, being a little trickster, you know. So,
right. Yeah. Oh, that sounds just like my uncle.
Right.
And also, as you have mentioned in the past, spirits on the other side don't talk to one another. Their communication is always telepathic. So they're basically reading each other's minds all the time. So it's hard to lie if somebody can look into your mind as well. Come on.
You know, and that's making me think of that reading I had back in 20 years ago, and Tom's dad came through and the medium said that, and I recognized it as being Tom's dad, who was the only close family member to me at the time that had crossed over. And, you know, here I am, tall, dark, and handsome. And he was tall. He was a good-looking man. He didn't have dark hair. But it's just kind of one of those phrases. Well, you're not, you don't exactly fit that exact description. But I knew exactly that was his sense of humor, and that's how he would describe himself.
Yeah, and that's key in a lot of the readings when the medium takes on the personality. That's a strong form of evidence. This is a serious question that we hear a lot, you know, involving suicide. I was wondering if you could provide any feedback that has been received when someone ends their life, like her son. Having been raised Catholic, I have been told it's a grave matter, but my son was a good person, believed in a divine creator, though did not practice any one religion. Is there hope for an afterlife for him?
Oh, my goodness.
You know, like Debbie. And of course there is. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, we've talked about this before. You know, most people that take their own lives do because they have emotional, issues, you know, it could be depression. Various illnesses, and you know why we treat a mental illness different than cancer, you know, is beyond me. An illness is an illness, you know. But I don't think that anybody is ostracized or judged because of that. I think there's self-judgment, as we often discuss, and maybe that person does a little bit more deep reflection on the other side, you know, than others, and it takes a little bit longer for them to sort of, you know, get back into the swing of things, if you want to call it that. But I know that religion, I've seen it countless times, that people that have, especially, you know, being a devout, you know, Christian, where you're told you're going to go here or go there, depending on your life, could be harmful, because I just don't think that's the way it is. I mean,
I know.
You guys could chime in on that.
Yeah, there are no other places. It's all one place. It's just your vibration, and as you say, your self judgment. You might discover that if you have ended your life early, that you haven't completed what you came here to do, and you'll have to just come back and finish, or maybe that was what you were supposed to be doing. we don't know that, how these contracts work, but the bottom line is your energy is your energy, and once you shed the human body, you will be part of the loving energy of the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marty, you must have come across that. I mean, I know you used to go to church regularly, and you know, had a lot of friends that have religious convictions. Does that topic come up at all? Or, I mean, what do they say to you? You know, when you hear somebody takes their own life?
I've encountered that, and I've never been fond of anyone who believes that because a person is in so much despair that they take their life, that they would be then punished after they die. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
Because if indeed you believe in, if you have a Christian faith, there is forgiveness, complete forgiveness when you die. And because there's complete love, and that's what Christianity to me means, that Christ came into this world to bring the awareness that we all should have this great or enormous capacity to love, and that's what we are surrounded with. And so it's just some man-made razzmatazz. If you commit suicide, maybe it's you don't want people to commit suicide. You don't want people to be gone. You want people to resolve their issues that make them so unhappy. But you know, my mother, who lived to be 98, was very, and my father as well. They were very, very supportive of allowing someone who is like old and very sick to take their lives, take pills or just go gently into that good night, and they were very, very, very strong, had very, very strong faith. So, yeah, I definitely think that they would never have supported that kind of punishment.
No.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so happy, Bob, when parents come to the grief retreats, and if they'd had any concerns or thoughts about that, it's quickly dispelled after talking to the mediums and to the other attendees. Because sadly, we're experiencing more and more situations where the grief is over someone taking their own life.
Right.
A lot of them are accidental these days too, but just as sad.
It's a question. Do you think our technology discoveries will eventually make it easier for those in the next world to communicate with us in our world? I think yes. I think as we learn more and more about the nature of consciousness, and then we make advances in communication and information perception, like the combination, will make it easier eventually. I don't know if it'll be in our lifetime, but I think that the, you know, people in the next world, they're looking for to better the communication skills, right? Because they want to get messages across. So I think that they're going to figure out how to take advantage of, you know, every week something new, you know, comes out. And I don't know where AI is going to wind up with any of this, but
You know that one of the last things in his life that Thomas Edison was working on was a phone
spirit
to to talk to spirit. Mm-hmm. And so he began the process of trying to develop that before he died. And I know that there are people now who are trying to revise that process.
Right. Yeah, I think it'll happen. There was this person asked if we advance to new realms in the non-physical world, like if it's a progression they're talking about, do you think our memories carry over? In other words, will we remember our existence in a previous realm? So I think what they're talking about is, so when we're in the physical world and we physically die and we go to the next realm, will we retain our memories? And we know the answer to that, you know, with mediumship and everything else, yes. But let's say now you're operating at a higher frequency and you move on to the next sphere or realm or what do you want to call it, dimension, you know. So do you remember what your life in the previous dimension, you know? Do you keep, is it cumulative and you just keep stacking memories? I don't know.
I'd have to say yes, because, well, the Akashic Records keeps records of all of your memories for all of your lives, and it can be accessed. So, you know, and what we talked about earlier of children being born that remember their reincarnated selves from before and remember facts and even recognize family members. So yeah, in this physical realm, there are people who have remembered the past realm. And most of us don't, because the human form is flawed, and most of us don't do that. But the ability is there, and I believe that when you do cross over and you shed all of these this physicality that's basically holding us back, that you will discover that you have abilities, and I think that's probably one of them.
I think it's a more pure love that is all-encompassing if we think of someone elevating to higher levels. And so it might be retaining more messages of love and connection to those that were part of their lives. But maybe some of the smaller details that aren't important to begin with
in
our human minds.
Right. You're probably right. I think that... I think that as we progress in these other dimensions, that our earthly memories begin to fade after a while, simply because they're not important anymore.
Right.
You're on to bigger and better things. You know, plus the fact you'll know that you'll see them again if you haven't already, you know, and so who knows? It's just all speculation. Hey, you know, when I'm... up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I can't go back to sleep, you know, my mind wanders. So I'm sure yours does too. So I made some notes of things that I was just this morning after I did the Wordle, you know, what I was thinking about, and and spelling bee, you know, I have to do both. So let's imagine that spirit decides as a group that they're going to give us irrefutable proof that we survive and go into the next life. Now, what would that irrefutable proof be? I don't know. It could be a mass materialization of all the spirit things around the world. You know, like you just can't deny it. I mean, in every country at once, everybody's seeing their loved ones, you know, for a short period of time, just as a way out example. So now everybody knows that for sure, without a doubt, that we're gonna live on. How would that affect everybody's life? I mean, would people try to hasten their physical death to get to move on with their journey? Would people live recklessly, you know, because they know that they could do dangerous things because they know they're not gonna die? Or would they have a better appreciation for life and enjoy life more? They're out worrying about death, or many other things. I mean, how would it change you if you knew without a doubt, that you go into another place?
Yeah, I know. It has changed, in the last, with our experience with the Forever Family Foundation and what we have discovered in that time gives me the confidence that that is true. And yeah, it helps a lot. I mean, it certainly helped when I went in for surgery. I had three surgeries in that period of time, and I went in without any fear. I hope that I have become a more compassionate and loving person than I was. I certainly don't have the I don't have the I wouldn't say greed, but the competitive desire to for money that I might have had 30 years ago. So yeah, I think it's for the better. And yeah, and as you say, as I've mentioned often, that I know that our spirits are in an eternal form, that we are here for eternity, and I'm realizing that our time here is so brief. And so I do try to enjoy the moment that I'm in. I try to enjoy the physical pleasures that you have in this life, and appreciate them while we have them. So yeah, there's a lot that's positive in accepting this as truth.
Right. And you don't live recklessly, because and you don't you certainly don't do anything to hasten your visit to the other side, right? And you know that there's a place to to go. So, but I wonder, that's us. Not everybody feels the same way that we do. So I was just contemplating, like, the general masses around the world, the downtrodden, and the the people that have all sorts of physical and mental hardships, and everything else. They may react differently. I don't know. I know, I don't think I would change the way I live, now. The only thing that came to mind is I wouldn't think twice, if I got a terminal illness, to, as Marta was saying, with her parents, to ease that transition. But I think even people that didn't believe in life after death would, a lot of them think the same way. Who wants to suffer, right? So,
I think so many. It's funny when you were describing it. I was seeing our world just being surrounded by these like bird-like vapors, that were telling us it's okay, it's okay. We're all a part of the one, and don't worry about dying because it's as you were saying, it's all so. It's okay that there is life after death, but I think that we're here to as it's a gift that we have. Life is a gift. This life is a gift. The next life is a gift, and to make the most of what you have, the gift that you have, and to embrace that and reach out. To your fellow man. I mean, it sounds so Pollyannish, I know, but it is the truth. And not to be so concerned unless you're ill about life after death and wanting to connect with other with your loved ones is absolutely natural. And I because I know that they're there, but to it's funny because there might be some people who would live recklessly, if they knew that they had forever. They would just go from one life to another. But I think on the whole, most people would want to stay here and to be with the people that they've established a life with and love with. And it would certainly be a relief for most people to think that that we go on, we continue.
Yeah. And I hear people say often, you know, that they want to live forever. And they're not talking in an ethereal sense. They're talking about in this physical world, you know, and they'll do everything to all these new treatments and everything to extend their life. But in the future, I think that without question, our lives are going to, our mortality span is going to extend, you know, we're going to live longer because medical advances are going to continue. I think eventually, I think we're going to get to a point where, I mean, physical human organs have a shelf life, you know, and even if you get a transplant, you know, it still has a shelf life. So I think we're going to have artificial manufactured organs, you know, and then they're going to cure diseases, and they're going to, but then again, if you have, I was thinking about this too, as my mind is wandering. So diseases attack organs, but if your organs are all artificial and manufactured, they're not going to be attacked. Yeah. So you might be immune to that. But when it comes to the brain, when your brain atrophies, then what? You know, if they wind up giving you an artificial brain, that's a scary thought. Because that, now we become automatons and we're done. You know, there's no, you know, feelings and emotions and intelligence are all manufactured. Our consciousness is manufactured. You know, that's when I say check, please. You know, I'm out of here. You know, so.
Let us know when you're going, Bob. We'll come right along with you.
You know what I said about Bob? There's always something.
If it's not this, it's that. If it's not that, it's this. You have to be old to remember that reference. Gilda Radner.
We're that age.
All right. Well, we don't have enough time to get into another topic, so we'll read our global peace prayer, written by Claude Swanson, who's now on the other side. Let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment.
And I'd like to say our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to accept it.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you soon.
Looking forward to it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.